So the YWCA's mission is to eliminate racism and empower women and girls. And that has evolved since our beginning here in Boulder County in 1922. And when we started, we actually did have two branches, actually, of the YWCA here. And one was really focused with women of color who led that. And then we had another group that was really focused with white women leading it. And so with our mission really acknowledging the fact that, wow, we have to do this work together, is really when we were able to actually, in 1958, found a fully integrated YWCA board, which actually included the first Black woman librarian at CU, and then included a former executive director from the YWCA out east, and then this other group of amazing women who had been working with college students and high school students. So that's sort of the beginning, I think, of where we really saw this incredible power when we're all working together. And since that time, we have created a childcare providing facility with quality, affordable childcare for so many families. We've created new programs, so STEM programs for girls of color, which we know is so important as we look at the future. We have to get a strong pipeline of girls starting in STEM so early so that as they're going along, they can take the right classes to be able to really dive into the careers of the future as well. And then I think on top of it, it's how do we inform and educate our community, not only about really, I'd say, equity as it relates to racism and sexism. You know, we've really tried to create a training program for community members so that they can look at, one, learn for themselves and do their own work, but then also be able to take action, which is the most important part of really how do we create this community that's welcoming and open and really provides opportunity for everyone.
I'm speaking with Debbie Pope, Executive Director of the YWCA here in Boulder County. We're talking about the things that have been done thanks to integration, social justice, and equality. And one of the things that is extremely important at this moment to talk about is childcare. Why? Because childcare is so expensive, especially here in Boulder. This is an issue. It's connected to everything else, and there's a lot of intersectionalities.
Absolutely. And just to put it in perspective, as you were talking about, for many people, if they have more than one child, it's actually twice their mortgage expense a month for childcare. And part of it is, you know, we're a nonprofit here. So, you know, what we've really tried to do is raise funds that we can to help offset those costs, but still be able to pay our teachers a salary that's also where they can live in a community that has high housing prices, right? And the cost to live here is very high. So I think the challenge with the industry as a whole is twofold. And one is that we have not been able to attract and retain teachers in this space because for years we have paid them the least amount of money. They have had some of the hardest working conditions. And so when COVID happened, a lot of them left the industry. And so now we're at a place of like, we need to start building pipeline and we need to make sure that we're paying them what they deserve and that this is an attractive field for people to go into.
How much an industry loses when they lose female force in their staff?
All ties together with this sort of social justice piece related to systems and structures. So, you know, for women, we still, of course, do not have equal pay for equal work. Now, even though that legislation was passed here in Colorado, it's really been is hard to enforce and it takes a lot of education. So, you know, what we're seeing happen is that one, there's this inequity in salaries, but the other part is that traditionally female positions and professions have always been paid the lowest. And so we have to get out of that space too and be able to. Through COVID, we've been able to see the impact when we don't have this workforce in place, that it is a backbone of our communities and keeping our country going. And so while I hate we've had to go through this, yeah, I'm pleased to see that at least there's finally focus and attention on this really important issue.
Highlight the importance of women occupying spaces of power where they can make decisions when our agenda is the most important thing.
You know, representation is so incredibly important when we think about legislation in our community. And I am thrilled that we had so many women running for office in local races in fall. It was incredible. And we can see the impact of that already. It's different ideas. It's acknowledging and recognizing all of the issues that our community faces. And I think a great example is in our state house, because we have so many incredible women legislators now in office. And you can see it in the bills that are being introduced, you know, everything from affordable childcare to making sure that there's access to health care, climate change. I mean, all of these pieces that, because of these really strong and incredible women leaders, we're making progress. But I think it would be really different if we didn't have their voice there.
Now that we are facing this possibility of a nuclear war, we females are even more awake than ever. There's a lot in social media about how we are standing up for the future of our kids.
We actually have a YWCA of women who are working in that area right now. Women are about bringing communities together. So when these types of events happen, they go against our nature. And so I feel like, you know, we're doing what we need to do to pull our communities together. And it's just, again, why it's so important that our voice and representation is in place, because I think we can all see what happens when there's someone who's in a powerful position and starts making decisions for thousands of lives that is not really based on what's best for them and the community.
Highlight the accomplishments and also the things that still need to be done.
What's interesting is we've been looking back and we've looked through our history and then thinking about, you know, where do we need to be going? Some ways it's a bit sad that a lot of the same issues that, you know, our grandmas and mothers were working on, that we still need to continue to fight for. But I do think as we're moving into this next phase of 100 years, it is about equipping our young women. It's about building that leadership for them and getting them positioned well to be able to, you know, have the careers of the future, have a voice in the places that will make sustainable change for women, for our families, for our communities. It's also a focus on men and how men really play into this really important role of supporting that we share this equitable space together. And that means everything from sharing household, you know, requirements to, of course, you know, professions that both men and women are doing outside of the home. And so we have work to do even on just like reconstructing, I think, how we think about how our families work, you know, what it means to be in a partnership for whatever that partnership looks like. And so I think that that's the space we need to be stepping into. So it really is now changing mindset. While we change policy, we also have to change mindset.
Debbie Pope, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to interview you today.
Thank you so much.